Good evening to everybody. We live in the generation and in a time period where the access and ability to get information, whether it's proprietary information or whether it's information that is free for all, has become quite easy. Of course, with the global village that we live in and with the advent of the computer, of the internet, the ability to access information about things or about people is quite common. The question is what is proper, what is improper, what is out of the pale, what is within the pale, what are some of the things that are permitted? Issues of privacy in the 21st century are those that we will discuss this evening. The Parsha of Balak, and of course Bilam, quite often continues to say, Vayar Balak, that Balak saw. Bilam refers to himself as Shesum Ha'oyin. Shesum Ha'oyin is referring to somebody who literally is translated as has open eyes. But there are those who explain, some Rishonim, that indicate that Shesum Ha'ayin is somebody of an ability to be looking and searching for information and private information in that respect. And that's who Bilam was. Bilam was an individual who was always acting conspicuously in order to try to uncover, to reveal private information. Of course, no coincidence that Bilam, in his attempt to curse, to be Mekalel B'nai Yisrael, ultimately is Mevarech and blesses B'nai Yisrael, and amongst the things he says, one of the most well-known psukim that we refer to is Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov Mishkanosecha Yisrael. That Bilam notes that the tents and the bayis, the homes of the Jewish people, were set up in such an appropriate way. How good are the tents of Israel, Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov Mishkanosecha Yisrael, the dwellings of Yisrael. Rashi, commenting on that pasuk, notes, quoting the Gemara, that what Bilam was really referring to was the attitude that Klal Yisrael had in the encampment in the Midbar, is that nobody would set up their entrance, their pischei bateim, the entrances to their homes, facing another entrance to another home. Klal Yisrael, as they were situated in the Midbar, would always be encamped in a way where there was privacy to be kept in a very clear and explicit fashion, and never ever were the two homes, the two doors facing each other, set up in such a way. The Gemara in Baba Basra and Daf Samech, Mishnah in Baba Basra as well, notes that here we see the source of one of the Yisurim, what the Gemara refers to in Baba Basra at length, as Hezek Re'iyah. There is a damage in seeing and looking at somebody else's property or somebody else's item. The beginning Prakim of Mesach Baba Basra deals with this, and there the Gemara in Daf Mates and Daf Samech deals with the prohibition of Hezek Re'iyah, and it's Paskin, of course, in Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat, looking at somebody else's property or imposing on the ability of a victim to freely utilize his property, that is the prohibition of Hezek Re'iyah. The Ramban and Baba Basra and Daf Nuntes note that there are three reasons as to why the Chachamim, as to why Chazal prohibited looking at and gazing at somebody else's property inappropriately. The first is what the Ramban refers to as an Ayin Hara. It's a bad omen, the evil eye. When you look at somebody else's property inappropriately, it causes an ayin hara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should look and gaze upon that individual's property in an appropriate way, and therefore looking at somebody else's property would be not appropriate in order that it shouldn't cause an ayin hara. The second reason that the Rabban lists as to the prohibition of Hezek Re'iyah is because it causes lashon hara. When you look at somebody else's property, you're bound to talk about the person. You're bound to talk about his property. Of course, lashon hara is not just a prohibition on an individual. It's also prohibited to speak about somebody else's property. And gazing and looking at somebody else's property and being mazik somebody else's property through looking at their property is a form and ultimately leads to lashon hara. The third reason that the Ramban notes is that Hezek Re'iyah is prohibited because it's lack of tzniyas. It's not modest. It's not the right thing to do to look at somebody else's property because that's not the way we as Jews are supposed to act. It's not tzniyas. Of course, on top of all these reasons that the Ramban notes, Ayin Hara, Lashon Hara, tzniyas, what's Olel Gaben, of course, and what's clear from the Gemara is that there's a prohibition to ruin somebody else's property via financial pain. And ultimately, that's what somebody can do. Using somebody else's, using your eyes to ruin and to look and gain information and to receive information by looking at somebody else's property, of course, is inappropriate and it's wrong, and there's a hezek in his mammon as well. Interestingly enough, Chazal don't have an isser of hezek shmiya. Chazal never said that you should listen to somebody else's conversation, eavesdropping, or ruining somebody else by wiretapping and phone tapping and listening to somebody else's information. Chazal never answered something along those lines of Hezek Shmia. Even though the Meiri indicates that there could be a potentially an Isser, the Meiri there in Baba Basra, and Daf Beis and Aleph, indicates this, that there is no Isser of Hezek Shmia, but nonetheless, ultimately, if a person does receive and gain information in an appropriate way by listening to somebody else's conversation or to hearing what somebody else has to say about a potential deal or somebody else along those lines, that also would be hasr. Of course, piggybacking on the Isser of Hezek Re'iyah and along the lines of listening and receiving information that it wouldn't be appropriate would also be taking information in an illegal way. If one has proprietary information and uses that proprietary information in an inappropriate way to take that information and to use it against one's competition or to use that information in a way that would be wrong and inappropriate also would fall along these lines as well of using proprietary information in an inappropriate way. Post the Chasimus HaTalmud, famously, Rabbeinu Gershom or HaGola had and established many haramim, many decrees. Famously, Rabbeinu Gershom prohibited polygamy. Rabbeinu Gershom prohibited divorcing a woman against her will. And amongst the other well-known haramim and niduyim of Rabbeinu Gershom was the isser, the prohibition, to read somebody else's mail. Although Rabbeinu Gershom doesn't note this himself, many of the Rishonim, including the Maharam Rutenberg and the Kolbo, note this. Maharam Rutenberg in the Tfus Prag, Elef Chafez, writes as follows. Chere, shlo liros diksav chadero. One will be excommunicated, and it's inappropriate and wrong to see what somebody else has written, to look at somebody else's information, private material, written material, shisholeach lechaveru, that you're sending, that one friend sends his fellow, to open up somebody else's mail, to look into somebody else's mail. Contemporarily, faxes and emails, of course, would seemingly follow along these lines as well. We'll discuss that momentarily. Below you, the also usser. So excommunication unto one who reads a letter that one sends to his fellow without his knowledge. That is the way the Maharam Rutenberg cites Rabbeinu Gershom, although he doesn't quote Rabbeinu Gershom. It's understood that this minog dates back to Rabbeinu Gershom. But regarding the Chemer Rabbeinu Gershom, he doesn't explicitly write why. What's the reason for this medieval tradition? Why did Rabbeinu Gershom have this Chemer? Later, Achronim suggested five or six different reasons as to what the prohibition of reading somebody else's mail is. The first suggestion amongst many, the Shutar Eschaim, the Marashach, and Chela Gimel, Simen Mem Zayin, writes that it is like Sholo Shlo Midat, using somebody else's property without Rishus. Of course, one is unable to borrow or to take something from another individual to use somebody else's property without receiving permission first. That's called Sholo Shlo Midat. And the Marashach writes that similarly, taking and reading somebody else's letter that was sent to another individual also falls within the category of shol midas, using somebody else's information without receiving any heter to do that. In the Chuvas of the Chikkei Lev in Yeradeh Simen Mem Tes, he suggests two different reasons why it would be prohibited to read somebody else's mail and why indeed Rabbeinu Gershom asked. The first is because of the mitzvah in the lav of the Hafta L'Reacha Kamocha, one is commanded, charged, to love his fellow as he loves himself. Of course, the way many Rishonim understand this mitzvah is in the negative, Bishlili, as the Ramban explains and other Rishonim explain, that which is hateful to you, you shouldn't do unto your friend. Man desani l'chavrich lo savit, what is hateful unto you, you shouldn't do to your friend. So therefore, the same way you as an individual would not like if somebody went into your mail and opened up a letter that you wrote to somebody else, of course, you shouldn't do that to your friend as well. Chikei Lev suggested as well that it's also bichlal lohu salilech rachil, that a person shouldn't be a talebearer amongst his people. He shouldn't start tattletaling and talking and reading somebody else's mail without permission will cause ultimately somebody to do the same thing as well, to start tattletaling and being a talebearer. A third reason, and a fourth reason, really the third reason that the Chikei Lev suggests and the fourth reason that we've discussed this so far, is that it falls under the category of Geneva Das, that you're tricking somebody or fooling somebody. You don't know as the sender of the letter that somebody else is reading my mail, so the fact that somebody else goes into the mailbox or goes into your computer and hacks into your email or any other action along those lines would be prohibited because you're being Geneva Das, you're stealing the knowledge of the other individual. A final reason is that it's prohibited to cause harm indirectly to somebody else. This is Grumma ben Ezekin. Grumma ben Ezekin is also, even though it's indirect, But reading another person's mail and corresponding and reading somebody else's correspondence ultimately could cause that person harm. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's emotional, could be even physical. And therefore, Grumah ben Hazikin is usher, and this would fall along the lines of Grumah ben Hazikin. What is interesting to note, and what has to be discussed, and this many contemporary posts from Dayanim discuss, is whether or not the Chaim Rav Genu Gershom still applies to other aspects of proprietary information. The only thing that the Rabbeinu Gershom assert, as the Maharam Rothenberg and the Kolbo quote, is reading somebody else's mail. But what about other aspects of getting information from somebody else? And if it's not reading mail necessarily, let's say it's getting information in another way, finding out information about a particular person or about a particular thing, or tapping into somebody else's ability to hear something or to get that information, would that also be usher? Do Chazal also usher other aspects of privacy? And what indeed did Rabbeinu Gershom usher? Some poskim contemporarily note that the issur is really only on reading somebody else's mail and reading somebody else's letters or information. And that's what Chazal usher, because that's what Rabbeinu Gershom writes. And you can't extend Rabbeinu Gershom's prohibition to other things. Therefore, some contemporary posts can maintain that when it comes to eavesdropping or listening onto telephone conversations and the like of others, would not be usher at all according to Rabbeinu Gershom, because Rabbeinu Gershom only ushered reading somebody else's mail and extending the cherem beyond the specifics that Rabbeinu Gershom did, like reading the letter and mail of others, that Chazal and that Rabbeinu Gershom never ushered. Other posts can argue and contemporarily agree that eavesdropping, listening to others' conversations, getting information by tapping into phone calls and the like, and those areas and other aspects of receiving proprietary information would be also going to fall under the category of the Cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom. Of course, whether or not one does these activities and receives proprietary information or taps into information by eavesdropping and telephone conversations and the like, nonetheless, it would still be usur and inappropriate, even though it doesn't fall into the isur of Rabbeinu Gershom. Of course, tapping into somebody else and finding information about somebody else, whether or not we could argue that technically speaking it's within the isur of Rabbeinu Gershom of reading others' mail, nonetheless, there are things that do go beyond the cherem as well. Of course, the way the Ramban understands the isur of hedik riyah, ultimately, when a person receives information in an appropriate fashion, there is a lack of tznias, there is a breach in tznias, it's not the right thing to do, it's not the chlal, the pasuk of Matovo, Alecha, Yaakov, Mishkan, Osecha, Yisrael, and certainly the reasons that the post can give, the achronim give, as to why Rabbeinu Gershom assert reading somebody else's mail. V'yaftarecha kamocha, shol shalomi das, moseilech rachiel, gineva's das, Grumah ben Hazikin. Those five reasons that the post can indicate would seemingly also be true when it comes to these aspects as well, when it comes to listening to others' conversations or to eavesdropping. Aruch HaShulchan raises an interesting question and is mistaken whether or not reading somebody else's mail, for example, in a postcard, or reading somebody else's mail when indeed the person didn't seal the envelope, unsealed letters, postcards, and the like, are those also prohibited to read? Well, on the one hand, the sender didn't cover it up, didn't put it into an envelope, and didn't take the steps to close the mail, seemingly he may not care. And therefore, as a result, the Aruch HaShulchan argues that on the one hand, it might be permitted. On the other hand, reading somebody else's mail may be usher, even though it's an unsealed letter and even though it's a postcard, because a person trusts that when he's sending letters, even though they're not closed, even though they're not sealed, and even though it's a postcard, that would be inappropriate to the read. Nonetheless, it still have to wonder, and this indeed the Aruch HaShulchan also seems to be mistaptic about, and even though the sender left it unsealed, what about the recipient? Maybe the recipient is not interested in you reading the letter. And since the recipient is not interested in reading the letter, even though the sender indeed didn't seal the envelope and sent the postcard, there may also be a reason to prohibit it. Aruch HaShulchan leaves this question unresolved when it comes to an unsealed letter and when it comes to a postcard. The same is true when it comes to discarded letters. Many of the Rishonim who quote Rabbeinu Yerucham have a dispensation that if indeed the letter has been discarded, if it's been thrown out, it's permitted to read. The question is, what does it mean discarded? Does it mean that the person has put it actually into the garbage? What about if it's on the floor? What if it's on the street? If it's abandoned, so on the one hand, one could argue that yes, indeed, the recipient doesn't mind if somebody else reads it. But again, we could ask and suggest that even though the recipient may not mind, what about the sender? The sender may have a problem with you reading the letter. Even though the recipient threw it in the garbage, the fact is the sender is the individual who wrote the information, who put the information in there, and he may consider it confidential, and therefore, as a result, one could argue that it would still be us. So discarded letters, unsealed letters, postcards are questionable, even though the citation from the Maharam in Ruttenberg itself seems to indicate that a discarded letter would be okay. It's also important to note that there is an opinion that if permission of the recipient is received, that will allow a third party to read the letter. Now, of course, that is also questionable because, again, just because one received permission of the recipient doesn't mean that you are permitted because the sender may not feel uncomfortable about that, and therefore, as a result, that's also questionable amongst halachic authorities, whether or not permission of the recipient is enough, or whether or not you need permission of the recipient as well as the sender. There are posts contemporarily who note that under extenuating circumstances, one is permitted to read letters and information of somebody else. Rabbeinu Gershom, when he prohibited reading somebody else's mail, didn't leave an absolute prohibition, because he does indicate, and some do indicate, that there are other times Rabbeinu Gershom allowed that for the purposes and the sake of a mitzvah, his cherem didn't have to be kept. And therefore, this may be true as well when it comes to reading somebody else's mail. If there's information in a private letter or in a sealed envelope that may cause harm or damage, in that situation, whether it's spiritual damage, whether it's physical harm, whether it's emotional harm, there are situations where it would be permitted for one who is in charge or one who is responsible for the welfare and the care of an individual or other people to open up a letter and to receive that information in order to figure out what is happening and whether or not there is something to be concerned about. That, of course, is up to Beis Din to decide, Rabbanim to decide, whether or not somebody can open up somebody else's mail. But, of course, we have seen shulas over the times, over the centuries, regarding such shilas, where there were heterim that were instituted in order to read somebody else's mail letter and to get proprietary information in order to save others from harm, in order to save others from danger, in order to save others from disaster. Besides for eavesdropping, phone tapping, reading unsealed letters, and receiving proprietary information, which is all falls under the prohibition of Hezek Re'iyah or the extension of the Rabbeinu Gershom and his cherem, there's also another aspect of proprietary information, and that's what's referred to as Gilui Sod, revealing proprietary information or confidentiality and revealing confidential information. When an individual shares confidential information with somebody else, that information, strictly speaking, does not belong in the public forum and does not belong in the Rishus HaRabim. There are two psukim in Mishlei, in Proverbs, which indicates that this is prohibited. The Pasuk says in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Holech Rachil Megale Sod, V'neman Ruach Mechasedavar. Somebody who goes about and is a tale-beller and is revealing proprietary, secretive, confidential, classified information, that's referred to as a rachil, as a tale-beller. However, neman ruach, somebody who's trustworthy, mechasedavar, keeps that information sealed. In Mishlei Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yutes, Gole Sod Holech Rachil, one who reveals proprietary, confidential, and classified information is referred to as a rachil. One shouldn't be involved in such items. In Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah, in Shar Gimel, Osreish Chafei, the Chavetz Chaim, and Hilchos Mechilos, and Perekhes Halacha Hei, indicate that the reason for this isser, and the reason why it's usher and inappropriate to reveal information, number one, based upon the Pasuk, is Mechilos, it's tail-bearing, number one. And number two, Rabbeinu Yonah says, besides the fact that you're a tail-bearer, T'yesh B'yuli Hasod Nezik Lebalov, you could be injuring, insulting, and hurting the person who shared this private information with you. One is going out of the realm and is breaching the form of tznius, of modesty, by sharing that information with somebody else. Of course, revealing information, and when there are strict rules of confidentiality, whether it's between physicians and their patients, whether it's between a lawyer and his client, whether it's between a therapist and his or her client, or whether it's friends who share secret information with each other as a way of sharing information and becoming and sharing those personal points, revealing that is wrong, it's usur, and it's inappropriate. So much so that the Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, Daf Daled, from where do you know that it's prohibited to reveal information that your friend told you until he tells you that it's okay? And the Gemara quotes a pasuk, "Vaydaber Hashem elav me'ohel moed le'mor," and HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe privately, secretly. So of course, hacking and receiving information and revealing proprietary information and sharing the confidential information, whether it's within a business, within a friendship, and one shares that private information and confidential information with somebody else, is absolutely usur. Of course, this is when businesses have information that's secretive and a employee shares that information with somebody else, competition, or with anybody else, and that causes damage, financial damage. Of course, that person can be held accountable. At times, it's grama, and grama bin zik and it's pater. But when it comes to hacking, when it comes to researching people, when it comes to areas of confidentiality, when it comes to areas of privacy, we as the Jewish people are tsnuim. We are modest. There's nothing more beautiful, more appropriate. It's the most desirable trait, the trait of being modest, of being secluded and not sharing information with the public eye. That is indeed what Bilam noticed about Klal Yisrael. Matovu Alecha Yaakov Mishkanosecha Yisrael, and this is how we, as Klal Yisrael, as Jews, both in terms of philosophically as well as halachically, have to recognize what should be shared, what shouldn't be shared. What's private remains in the private domain. What's public can be shared and is within the public domain. There are issues of confidentiality, there are issues of privacy, and those are all things that have to be taken seriously and not to be taken lightly.